Hi, welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom.
Welcome to podcast number 27. These podcasts all come from a series of four books I have written entitled In Defense of Christianity. The ebook, paperback, and audio can be accessed at ronaldmesser.com or on Amazon. Today's podcast is taken from Chapter 1, Free Will, Volume 2, Democracy. It is entitled Spiritual Law. When we speak of liberty, we naturally assume that we all agree on the meaning of the word. The idea of liberty trips off the tongue as easily as the idea of truth. Everyone likes the idea of liberty, or freedom, or free will, or agency, or truth. But not everyone likes the actualization of liberty, freedom, free will, agency, or truth. One could easily ask, if we like liberty so much, why is it so rare in the history of the world? We all agree that we hate tyranny, yet when life becomes complicated, we follow tyranny as freely as the children that followed the Pied Piper of Hamelin, though he leads them to their own destruction. According to legend, the town of Hamelin, Germany was infested with rats. The story occurred in the Middle Ages, so one can assume that the town was suffering from the Black Plague. A clownish stranger, dressed in multicolored tights, hence the name Pied, offered a solution. He would get rid of the rats if the town would pay him 1,000 guilders, a very large sum of money. The mayor agreed. They were desperate. The Pied Piper played his flute and lured all the rats into the local river where they drowned. The mayor refused to pay the piper such a large sum, and the piper exacted revenge by playing his pipe and luring the children into a cave while the adults were in church. The children were never seen again. One could interpret the story of the Pied Piper in many ways, but it is symbolic of how tyranny becomes popular. When faced with seemingly insurmountable problems, we look to any oily-tongued Pied Piper, such as Hitler, or Stalin, or Marx, or socialism, or fascism, or communism. We will give anything to make the pain go away, only to discover too late that the solution is worse than the original problem. During a crisis, however, we find it easier to follow the Pied Piper while disregarding the long-term consequences. We are prone to seek quick fixes or easy solutions. Therefore, we often fall prey to empty promises. All animals in their infancy appear cuddly, but some grow into ferocious beasts. So is the face of tyranny. It is introduced first as a warm and cuddly creature, and only later does it reveal itself as a devouring beast. In the book of Revelation, two beasts appear. The first beast was awful in appearance. He had 7 heads and 10 horns. He was compared to a leopard, bear, and lion, and was given power by the dragon. The second beast, however, had only 2 horns and appeared as a lamb. He deceived mankind by means of miracles. It was the second beast, in the shape of a lamb, that murdered anyone who did not worship the image of the beast. Freedom is such a delightful word that we all seek it until we discover that true liberty requires constant vigilance, hard work, infinite choices, self-reliance, sacrifice, daily frustrations, frightful courage, seemingly insurmountable challenges, uncertainty, competition, complexities, constant opposition, personal responsibility, and daily diligence. In the weakness of despair, a Pied Piper comes along and promises instant ease, permanent relief, and guaranteed success. We embrace him with open arms, only to discover that the cost was our freedom, or, as with the people of Hamelin, even the lives of our children. The Israelites, for example, enjoyed a perfect democratic republic under judges, but they insisted on a king. The Lord told the children of Israel through Samuel the prophet that they would become slaves to the king, and it would lead to their destruction, but they insisted. In fulfillment of prophecy, 3 of the greatest kings in history, Saul, David, and Solomon, corrupted by absolute power, led the house of Israel to their utter destruction. The children of Israel scattered to the 4 corners of the earth, leaving only the tribe of Judah to remind us that they actually existed. True liberty requires self-reliance, and self-reliance is hard. Some succeed in a highly competitive environment, and others don't. Liberty fosters inequality in distribution of wealth. A Pied Piper comes along and promises to redistribute the wealth, making the rich appear as villains. The poor who outnumber the rich follow their new savior. That is where America finds itself today. In the heat of contention, we keep the language of liberty but lose the soul of liberty. Here is a fundamental truth about liberty. Our freedom is based upon absolute natural laws. Our agency is based upon absolute spiritual laws. If we want liberty, we must obey the law of liberty. No person can rise above the complete set of natural or spiritual laws that he or she obeys. What is the law of liberty? The answer is very simple. The law of liberty is the Ten Commandments. And only by following the Ten Commandments can we have liberty. Here, let me refer you to my book, Volume 3, in the series of In Defense of Christianity, entitled The Law of Liberty. A primary component of liberty is free will. Agency is the ability to discern right from wrong and good from evil. It has a moral and spiritual component related to conscience. As freedom depends upon temporal law, agency depends upon spiritual law. The spirit, not the body, has agency because the spirit alone has free will. Neither the body nor the brain, which are biological machines, has free will. The brain processes information and communicates that information to the body, but the brain does not think. Intelligence lies only in the spirit, which is our life force. It is not possible for the body or the brain to have free will. It creates impossible contradictions and makes of us nothing more than biological robots. Our physical body is a perfect biological machine, just as scientists say. Our body is engineered to house our spirit. It is entirely possible, I suppose, to map out the body and the brain as we map the genetic code. It is theoretically possible, though not very probable, to duplicate the physical body and the physical brain. For after all, they are perfectly engineered machines to carry out the will of the spirit. The spirit communicates with the brain communicates with the body. However, scientists can never duplicate the spirit. It is the spirit of man, not the brain and body of man, that makes moral decisions, that has a desire to worship God, that has intelligence, that has free will, and that has life. The spirit relies upon spiritual law, but the body and brain must rely upon natural law, and therefore every act of the brain and body is subject to analysis and perhaps duplication. The great miracle of our body is that it was perfectly engineered for our spirit. As a spirit, we comprehended the spiritual world, but to comprehend the natural world, we needed a natural body. Evolutionists entirely misinterpret the purpose of the human body and the role of genes. Our genes, though they influence our freedom on Earth, have nothing to do with free will. Free will is entirely determined by the spirit. The life force or intelligence or will are self-existent. However, without law, free will could not be exercised. Our physical bodies were created by God to maximize our freedom in a mortal world. When things go wrong, our freedom is curtailed. Our role is to keep our bodies as free of addictions and as healthy and as strong as possible so that we do not willfully assign our freedom to mortal maladies. Without a physical body, our spirit would be severely handicapped on Earth. It is also true that our spirit is severely curtailed when our physical body and brain are bound by handicaps, diseases, addictions, paralysis, and other earthly maladies. The uncertainties of Earth life are painfully present. Our natural body is subject to the natural man, and therefore is prone to the weaknesses of the flesh, thus putting us at war with God. Our spiritual body is not subject to the natural man, but is born of the Spirit, and therefore draws us toward God. Freedom exists because we have infinite choices. Agency exists because we have opposition. We are enticed by God to do good. We are enticed by Satan to do evil. The war never ends. Though influenced by the body, we are entirely governed by the spirit. Those who claim that we do not have free will assume there is no immortal spirit, no God, and no intelligent design. They assign all of our behavior to the natural man. They look to deterministic causes, such as genes, laws of nature, environment, chance, and circumstances. Those who claim that we do have free will assume there is an immortal spirit, a God, intelligent design, and that the physical body, though subject to natural law, is governed by the spirit and has the ability to make moral choices. Linda, there is a parallel between freedom and agency. Just as our freedom is limited by temporal laws, our agency is limited by spiritual laws. Earth is assigned by God a complete set of temporal laws and a complete set of spiritual laws, all acting independently, so that we may achieve of our own free will maximum freedom and maximum agency. That is why the search for truth is our primary responsibility.
You know that I'm going to ask the eternal question, what is truth?
Truth is knowledge of things as they really are. Truth assumes that absolutes exist. The moment we give up our belief in absolutes, the search for truth becomes meaningless.
I know, of course, what absolute means. It means that things never change, but in our world, everything changes. One of the fundamental laws of nature is that things move from an organized state to a disorganized state. Scientists call it entropy. How can you have truth in a world governed by entropy?
The easy answer is that knowledge of entropy is the truth. Entropy is governed by law, and law is absolute. We can only discover truth by discovering law.
You can see the dilemma that puts Christians or all God-fearing people in. Science, for example, only believes in the physical world. Therefore, all of their conclusions are based on the laws of nature.
That is why they are moving the world toward relativism, naturalism, and atheism.
They cannot see absolute truth beyond the laws of nature. All those who believe in God search for truth outside of nature.
If science is correct, there is only one set of laws. Laws of nature are laws of the physical world.
And if science is incorrect, there is also another set of laws called by Christians the spiritual world.
Those who believe in God introduce the concept of faith, because only through faith can one believe in the metaphysical world, or world outside of nature.
Science rejects metaphysical truths because they can't apply the scientific method to them.
That is one of the greatest fallacies of science. Strictly speaking, you can apply the scientific method to metaphysical truths. The stumbling block is that in discovering metaphysical truths, the first step is faith. To discover God, one must take a leap in the dark.
I think we would all agree that it is a very big leap.
Only the first step. Even a cursory reading of the Holy Scriptures will reveal that all of God's laws are built on the same principles, whether those laws are physical or metaphysical.
What do you mean?
I simply mean the principle of causality. If, then, either or, because, therefore. All laws have conditions, whether natural laws or spiritual laws. In other words, there is a cause and an effect. In Christian jargon, we call them commandments with promises. If we keep a commandment of God, we are promised to receive a specific blessing. If we disobey a commandment of God, we are promised to receive a specific penalty.
Can it possibly be that simple?
It really is as simple as that, as long as you understand that in all spiritual laws, faith is required. For example, it takes faith to keep the commandments of God. It takes faith to wait on the Lord. And it takes faith to recognize God's hand in the details of our lives. We may see the creations of God with our natural eyes, but we can only recognize the miracles of God if we see them through the eyes of faith. To the believer, even the earth, the moon, the sun, the stars, and the galaxies testify of God. To the non-believer, they merely appear as operations of chance, accident, or coincidence. The believer sees intelligent design everywhere. The non-believer sees serendipity of circumstances.
So you are saying that every person on earth, regardless of religious beliefs, whether atheist or theist, is a witness to the miracles of God, but only the faithful recognize the hand of God.
God works only by law. There are two sets of laws, spiritual laws and temporal laws, and both are absolute and both represent the truths of God.
You are equating the laws of God with truth. In other words, truth is law and law is truth?
Christians use different language. They substitute words such as light, knowledge, truth, and power. Knowledge brings light, and light brings power. Truth and light are usually considered inseparable. Intelligence is a combination of truth and light. Increase in truth and light, and one increases in intelligence. Increase in intelligence, and one increases in power. It still comes down to the absolute laws of God.
That makes sense, since God has all intelligence, which means that he has all truth and light, which we refer to as omniscience and omnipotence.
We are spirit children of God made of immortal matter. Nothing makes sense unless we consider the immortality of matter. We equate truth with light, for light is tangible. Light has a physical and a metaphysical element. We can see it and feel it. Light is made of matter. Light is equated with knowledge and power, and both are connected with law. God deals only with eternal things. Everything to him is spiritual. From the beginning, God placed us on the path of truth and light that we might become more like him. Otherwise, what is the point of our existence? We can rise no higher than the laws, whether temporal or spiritual, that we obey. How can we obey laws if we don't know what they are? That is why the search for truth is the most valuable quest we can embark on. Ignorance of law is anathema to freedom.
In the book of Genesis, we learn that our spirit body was created in the image of God. Our physical body was created after the likeness of God.
That means the spirit and the body are alike, if you can imagine having a perfect body. To be like God and to have a living soul, we must have both a spirit and a body. Our physical body is mortal and subject to death. Our spirit, however, is immortal and not subject to physical death. Regardless of the conditions of this earth, our spirit will not die. When the physical body is laid in the grave, our spirit lives on in another dimension of earth, longing for the resurrection. In that dimension, temporal laws do not apply. It is operated entirely by spiritual laws. After the resurrection, we will never be subject to temporal laws again. After the resurrection, not only will our spirits be immortal, but our physical body will be immortal as well, never to be separated.
We are immortal, eternal beings, having a mortal experience. But the mortal experience is temporary, that we may learn opposition. Studying law gives us knowledge, but only through experiencing law can we gain wisdom. To understand the immortal, we must first understand the mortal. That is why earth life is necessary. It is a proving ground for the spirit. Only on earth does our immortal spirit face the challenges of a mortal body. It follows that although our spirit is not subject to physical laws, it is subject to spiritual laws and requires the same care as the physical body.
Our spirit and body are so interconnected that the health of our body affects the attitude of our spirit. The attitude of our spirit affects the health of our body.
That means that chemicals and natural herbs are not always the answer. Some sicknesses are spiritually based and can only be cured through repentance and altered habits, both mental and spiritual. Even attitude influences our health.
Although the spirit cannot die or suffer physical illness, it can suffer spiritual illness such as depression, discouragement, hate, anger, pride, pessimism, fear, revenge, selfishness, and despair. Those things can be fed and thus multiply.
But it also feels happiness, joy, excitement, enthusiasm, optimism, forgiveness, charity, love, reverence, and courage. You are saying that in spiritual things, we have a choice.
Genes carry information between the brain and the body, but only the spirit governs our behavior. We have the power to override natural desires. Desire is not genetically engineered. Our spirit communicates with our brain communicates with our body. One role of genes is to allow our brain to communicate with our physical body so that our bodies can help our spirits feel what our spirits alone can perceive. The body needs the spirit to have life. The spirit needs the body to have joy in life. The body is engineered to accommodate the spirit. The spirit is not engineered to accommodate the body. Regardless of scientific superstition, at no time can the body dictate the behavior of the spirit. All behavior, though heavily influenced by the body, is determined by the spirit, or free will doesn't exist.
However, our physical body very much affects our spiritual well-being. It is a two-way street. Our spiritual well-being also affects our health. Sometimes our spirit gives in or gives up or completely capitulates to the appetites of the body.
You're perhaps referring to addictions. However, the potential for free will always exists, even in an addict. Discounting disabilities beyond our control, free will cannot be taken away. Giving up is a spiritual act, not a physical imperative. The spirit, however, can be overwhelmed by the demands of the physical body.
Our environment is just as important to the spiritual health of our spirit as it is to the temporal health of our body. Satan and his angels are real. It doesn't take much thought to figure out their favorite haunts. They like dark places where hidden sin flourishes. Our age has chosen to bring sin into the light and make sin attractive even to our youth. Blinded by bright, artificial light, we live in darkness and don't know it. We have polluted our environment to a dangerous degree, confusing our youth, making evil look good and good look evil.
Sin, like poison mushrooms, grows better in the dark. Our world has confused light for darkness and darkness for light. Clanging bells, shrill whistles, and raucous laughter are preferable to quiet meditation. Closed-door collusion is more in harmony with Satan than open-hearted confessions.
We should avoid evil environments. Beware of shrill laughter without mirth, sensual pleasures without peace.
I always knew you had the makings of a good preacher. Mocking sacred things may cause boisterous riot in the room, but it rankles the soul and disturbs our spirit. Sometimes we are so blinded by the brightness of the physical light that we fail to see the depth of spiritual darkness that surrounds us. Our eyes grow accustomed to the artificial light, but when our spirits grow accustomed to the darkness, despair is not far behind.
We should control our own environment, especially in our hearts, in our homes, and in our communities. Avoid evil and seek out holy places. Though the elements of physical health and spiritual health may be somewhat different, the principle is the same.
Sound without order is noise, often very unpleasant noise. In the same way, a disorderly environment has a noise that negatively affects our spirit. It weakens our spirit in the same way that it weakens our physical body.
Environments of filth, chaos, uncleanliness, sin, riot, clamor, noise, contention, profanity, vulgarity, hate, anger, obscenity, immorality, etc., depress our soul.
If we could see with spiritual eyes, we would be appalled at how a negative environment affects our mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health. An environment of anger, hate, oppression, contention, bullying, lasciviousness, angry shouting, black sin, rage, etc., depresses the soul and affects all the other areas that erode our happiness.
What disease is to the physical body, sin is to the soul. Another element of spiritual health that we overlook today is the effect of sin on our moral well-being. Guilt burdens the soul, and unless relieved through repentance, it can also erode our happiness and our health. Loud laughter, like the high wind, drowns out true joy, which can only be felt in the quietness of a serene soul.
The spirit and body are connected in such a way that the deterioration of one causes the deterioration of the other, and both slowly weaken together.
Obedience to spiritual laws is as important to our health, our freedom, and our liberty as obedience to temporal laws. If we obey the laws of temporal health, we will enjoy greater freedom and greater happiness. If we obey the laws of spiritual health, we will enjoy greater agency, greater peace, and greater joy.
We cannot see the wind with our mortal eyes, but we know the wind is there because we feel it, or we see its devastating power after a storm.
We cannot see God with our mortal eyes, yet we know He is there because we feel peace at His presence and see the order around us and the power of His ubiquitous laws.
His power is demonstrated everywhere on earth and in the sky, and His glory is manifest by the orderly movements of the stars and the vast expanse of the heavens. Where you see the positive effects of law, you see God.
God is only invisible to mortal eyes. Our spiritual eyes see Him everywhere.
In the Oedipus trilogy by Sophocles, the blind Tiresias had better sight than the clever king Oedipus. Oedipus was clear of mind and could solve riddles, but he was spiritually blind and brought disaster to himself, his family, and his kingdom when he ignored the counsel of the prophet. Ultimately, he was physically blinded, brought on by his own hand, which reflected the blindness of his spirit.
Only by obeying the laws that protect, perfect, preserve, and sanctify us can we be protected, perfected, preserved, and sanctified by law.
Entropy of the spirit is worse than entropy of the body because it has eternal consequences on the soul.
Christ made it possible for our physical body, after death, to be resurrected and become as immortal as the spirit, never to be separated.
The resurrection knows no entropy, and without entropy, there can be no evolution. All diseases, disabilities, physical or mental, and all weaknesses will be removed. The spirit, being immortal, will not be resurrected to match the body. The body will be resurrected to match the light of the spirit.
Through our agency, we have a choice. It all comes back to law. Greater obedience carries greater light.
Truth is perfect knowledge of law. Law equals light. Light equals power. As we increase in obedience to law, we increase in light and truth. As we increase in light and truth, we increase in power and glory. God cannot impose upon us that light which we refuse to receive. It would violate our agency.
Earth is the only dimension where we have a mortal body and an immortal spirit. Here, we not only have the divine opportunity to bring them into harmony, but we have the chance to affect the quality of our resurrection. There will never be a greater opportunity than Earth to perfect our spirits by searching for truth and obeying the laws of God. Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.
In Defense of Christianity is available at ronaldmesser.com.